CliffCentral.com.
What a guy.
In my darkest hour.
What is that?
He's about to go into his
monologue. Oh, his darkest hour. We can cut that out. Wow, Michael Jackson.
In
little
my
bit of
deepest despair, will you still care?
Gee, Sia. You remember every word.
I say.
You should have heard Sia's version of this. It would have caused your ears to bleed.
It was amazing.
It's the worst Michael Jackson impersonation I've ever heard in my life. Good morning, everybody. 7:10 on cliffcentral.com. I went out for a mate of mine's bachelor's party over the weekend, and there was this table, and there was a whole lot of action and activity happening at this table. Cool. A whole bunch of people having just a really good time. You know, when you can see the happening table in the place. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that this one friend of mine was walking around in like a onesie because he was dressed up for his bachelor's.
Oh.
He was not the center of attention. So I looked at this table and I saw the most famous couple in South Africa there.
Ooh, oh, now we've just turned this into a guessing game.
I know.
Okay.
Because all the ones I've known have broken up.
You want to guess?
I mean, it really depends which fraternity you subscribe to. So you could be the Bonang AKA Club.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got it right straight away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I ruined it.
No, that's good.
No, but that's pretty much where it is. It's a mess around. Yeah.
Because I mean, like, is it pop culture? Is it politics?
The most famous people in South Africa, right? The most famous couple.
Okay, now.
So they were just sitting there and chilling. And so obviously I went around and bought them a drink and chatted to them.
Oh,
and
did you?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, well, you know.
Why wouldn't I? So I went over and said,
you all roll in the same circle.
And
so.
AKA started singing me. He made a song for me.
Stop.
Listen to this. I mean, it's full of profanity. It could never become a hit, but listen to this. This is him. That's Bonang. So that was my song.
So A, he was totally drunk. B, you are now super cool.
He wasn't even that drunk. No, I got a song. So I was happy. I'm like, yeah, AKA did a song for me.
Is that your new ringtone right now?
Yes, I'm going to make it into a ringtone.
It should be, yeah.
Sitting in a meeting.
Exactly. It will be appropriate in business meetings.
I did get both of them to agree to come and talk to us one morning. So we're going to make that happen soon enough. And maybe they'll come in together. Wouldn't that be powerful?
Mm. Sure. Yeah, look. They do command a lot of attention, so...
You know, they were just chilling with their friends, though, and it's nice to see, because usually on a weekend, those two are working. AKA's got performances every other day. Mm. Bonang, she does so many jobs.
Listen, Bonang works literally all over the continent. All over the continent.
So it was actually really nice to just see them doing normal stuff, like a normal couple would, mm-hmm. hanging with their friends. It was nice. I don't know how many nights they get like that. I know when I was doing the DJing stuff every other weekend, I didn't see my friends. I didn't see anyone. I was away every Friday and every Saturday, and you have fun. You meet people, but it's not always of your choosing. You're working, you know? So you kind of had to roll with that.
So that's why I often wonder, you know, the life of those professional DJs, your Calvin Harris and your Tiestos. No,
listen,
and
have a great time. Don't get all sorry for them.
Yeah.
They party nonstop.
But
some of them don't. Some of them don't necessarily get into the party. They go and they do their gig. They leave. A lot of them will play their set and they'll get out of there because they're just not in the mood. And some nights you're just not in the mood. But on a night where you are, there's, you know, 10,000 people to party with. It's not a bad invitation. Ugh.
But I just think it's sometimes those little things, like you're just feeling kind of chilly, or you even just have a runny nose, and the last thing you want to be.
You've spent the whole day traveling. You've been on planes. You're in hotel rooms. It's not you don't know anyone in that city. Maybe you know how it goes. Mm. It's not like you're traveling with a crew all the time. So it can be tough, but it was just nice to see those two because, I mean, you know, you don't expect to bump into them at some bar.
This is true.
No. You know, I remember one of my very first events here in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. I bumped into Bonang and her then-boyfriend, Euphonic.
Oh, that's right. They were together.
Exactly. But I did I broke event rule number one.
You went straight up to them and made a fuss.
Exacto freaking mundo. After I had got well acquainted with the free champagne at the event.
Sia, when he's on the champagne, there's a slight problem.
Yes.
It was a mess. Yeah. I thought I was so cool. I called you Phonic by his first name. So I was like, Temba, I see you in the corner.
And he's looking at this overactive.
So bad.
Puppy dog of a human being is going, oh Jesus.
I cringe at it now.
Yeah. So embarrassing.
Still have the picture and I was like, you know, this should never see.
And in the picture, I'll bet you they were like giving that, let's smile for this idiot say go away smile.
Funnily enough, they're actually kind of cool at the end because I was just like, God said, love thy neighbor, so you should love me.
Oh boy.
My friends all recorded it because that's what great friends do, right?
All right. We got to get into some news and stuff. There's a lot to talk about this morning. We're not just referring to Jeff Radebe's text messages.
Oh, boy. Do you want to go there? Do we want to go there?
I think we got to start there, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you really want to, because, you know, now a lot of people have been writing articles about whether or not this the sex text could end Jeff Radebe's presidential hopes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he had some of those. According to some political commentators, the slight chance that minister in the presidency, Jeff Radebe, might have had to become ANC president and president of the country has now become even slimmer. This follows claims that he was involved in a series of text, SMSs and emails that he had sent to a young employee at the union buildings in Pretoria.
Grabbed by the pussy.
Well, yes, Gareth, he asked for nude pictures of herself.
He wanted nudes. Send nudes.
Send nudes, Baba. According to the Sunday Times, they reported that Radebe, who in January was approached by some ANC branches to vie for the party's leadership and thus become the country's president, had allegedly asked a presidential photographer by the name of Siyasanga Mbambani.
What the hell's going on there, Sia? There
Sia's phone.
Sia's been getting nude requests.
Wow, Sia.
When you say sorry, Sia.
I'm sorry.
I just got a notification from Jeff.
Jeff said it early.
Jeff Radebe is like, Sia, where are those nudes you promised?
Yo. This is how rumors start. So the 29-year-old presidential photographer had been asked for pictures of her genitals. The SMSs and email correspondence between her and Radebe apparently date back to 2014. Now, I immediately saw a lot of people saying, yeah, but guys, this woman had obviously been a willing participant. Why are we being so hard on Jeff Radebe, especially if he was being entertained by this woman? Mm. Seems to me the situation was, you know, two consenting adults sharing a bit of intimate material on their phones. And then other people refuting that argument by saying the issue here is that she was a subordinate and that is why this whole thing is wrong. So what do we say? I just say, ladies, enough being victims. We need to
capitalize this.
Need to cap whatever you can
monetize the situation.
Whatever you can get.
Say to this guy, you can have it for 5,000.
Whatever you can get that you want without compromising yourself or implicating yourself. If you can do that successfully, go right ahead and use these people for whatever you can get out of them. I'm sorry.
What if she'd asked him for money?
Yeah.
What if she said, now, what would people say? Because I bet you people would be mean to her. They'd be even more mean. Some people are obviously full of nastiness in any case. But what if she'd said, okay, 50,000, you can see the CLIT,
yeah,
which is what he wanted.
Look, if he was going to be willing to pay and she wanted 50,000 rand, I'm okay with that.
That's transactional.
I am. You know what? It's about leverage, people. We need to turn the situations around. When you find yourself in this kind of position where, you know, you may not necessarily be in the power position, if you can get yourself in the power position and get something out of it, go right ahead and do it.
Vagina pussy.
Mind you, hashtag nudes for Jeff is trending on Twitter right now.
We should all send Jeff nudes.
No.
No, let's flood his phone. I mean, come on.
One of my favorite tweets is Dumelo KH, who says, I can already hear Zizu Godo explaining to Mzansi that CLIT is communication line inspection tool. Yeah. So that'll probably be the explanation later.
You stupid bastard.
Oh, you see, guys, we just can't control ourselves. This guy's in his 60s. He's married to a beautiful, talented, successful woman who comes from a family with money and respect. And yeah, I just feel, oh, I feel, it's so awkward now. You're never going to think of him as being minister in the presidency again. You're gonna, the minute you see him, you're going to think, send nudes.
But nudes for Jeff. But I didn't know that Jeff. Hashtag yeah. existed.
Wow, what a great hashtag. Trending. Nudes for Jeff.
Trending number 4 on Twitter.
Still.
Yeah, yeah, on Twitter. Woo! But we as the public forget, lest we forget that our president was the one who was on trial with rape allegations galore.
And we know he was busy messaging and like, saying to chicks X, Y, and Z, our president set the tone. What kind of a cabinet would they be if they didn't follow his lead?
But can you imagine how many like MDs or supervisors or CEOs read the story yesterday and thought, oh shoot, I'm busy doing that right now with one of my subordinates.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
The crazy thing is, this will not stop anyone.
No, it won't, which is why women need to start capitalizing on these situations.
I've withdrawn my fingers.
Where they can.
As you can see my hand, I had, yeah.
And you know, politicians are such assholes that they're all taking great pleasure in Jeff's fall now.
Because
Jeff's been kind of squeaky clean. He's managed to survive the longest in cabinet. He's been around a long time. People are going, it's about time he came to a fall. He's just done too well.
I mean, oh gosh. Every single one of them yesterday must have gotten flashbacks to their incidents. Every single one of them like must have gotten flashbacks to their moments of infidelity with their stories or the headlines.
Yeah. And I don't mean this in like a derogatory way, but I feel like there is this bit of like this boys club, this immature boys club thing. So I'm pretty certain there was a text from like Figile being like, haha, laughing too.
Yeah, welcome
like the
to the club. They've
like,
probably got a WhatsApp group between them and they all share the nudes.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff is like, hey boys, look what I got tonight. He's sending it to Figile and Malusi and all of them. They got like a, they got a men's club on WhatsApp.
This is why, at the very least, your nudes must not contain your face in them.
Yeah, please.
Those things get shared. They spread.
You're going to do nudes. Everybody does. If you're going to do it, just don't put your face in it,
put
please.
Put your face in it.
Bitch,
don't
please.
Don't do it.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Let's leave that in the dust.
All right. So enough about nudes for Jeff.
Let me remind you, Rich Mulholland will be in for the reality check a little bit later on, 7:45. And then Vusi Tembekwayo a little bit later on.
So some anticipated court action for this coming week.
What do we got court action-wise?
Well,
this is exciting.
Yeah, look, I'm sure there'll be a Henry von Breda update later on in the week because that trial is still ongoing. But in an entirely different set of circumstances, the non-profit organization Women and Men Against Child Abuse today are expected to approach the High Court in Johannesburg in an effort to change the law to ensure that the legal system acknowledges the seriousness of all sexual violence cases, regardless of the elapsed time since the offense.
So this would mean that if, for example, Bill Cosby had taken advantage of you in the 1980s, you would still have a case.
You would still have a case.
In other words, it doesn't just die out over time.
Oh, wow.
So if you're a creep in, like, 1993, you're still a creep in 2017.
So it said that Section 18 of the Criminal Procedures Act currently states that all sexual offenses other than rape cannot be prosecuted 20 years after the crime has been committed. And now the organization say they want to bring the application to the High Court to argue that this section excludes survivors who have suffered many other forms of sexual abuse other than rape.
All right, so not just rape. In other words, fondling, molestation, what Ben likes to refer to as being interfered with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
Hmm. Well, in the light as well of the week that we had last week with the hashtag men are trash trending all over social media and the story of Karabo Mokoena as well. Stats SA, in partnership with the South African Medical Research Council, has actually revealed some of the figures that come out of sexual violence against women in South Africa. It's actually quite frightening.
I'll bet. Let's just steady yourself before you listen to this lot.
My goodness. So this is sexual violence in particular. 6% of women over the age of 18 reported that they were that they've experienced sexual violence. 2% of these women reported that they experienced such violence during the last 12 months of taking the survey. 16% of divorced, separated women have experienced sexual violence by a partner. So not just a stranger or someone they've bumped into at a club, but a partner. 10% of women living with a partner reported sexual violence against them. And the Northwest actually reported the highest rate of sexual violence, with 11.8% of women reporting sexual violence against them. And KwaZulu-Natal has the lowest rate of sexual violence, with 3.1% of women reporting sexual violence against them. And then this even gets freakier when you look at physical violence. 21% of women over the age of 18 reported that they've experienced violence. The Eastern Cape has the highest rate of physical abuse in the country, and KZN has the lowest rate of physical abuse. But what Stats SA actually saw with all of these statistics is that the more you go down to the lowest wealth quintile in the country,
so in other words, the poorest people, that's where most of the sexual violence happens?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. My God, as if those people don't have enough to worry about.
And these are just figures that they've gathered from reported incidents. Yeah. So it
God alone knows how many women don't say that something's happened because they're just completely disempowered. Ugh. Makes me so uncomfortable. There's some stories about this country that you can't find a humorous angle on.
Mm-mm.
You know, we try to like make you feel better in the morning. But this kind of story, there's just no silver lining. It's just such a... It's such a blight on our national consciousness. It's just so ugly. I wish there were a way for us to be able to figure out how to once and for all deal with this. I don't know that there is. It's such an ugly testimony of the worst part of who we are. And we all have to own it. Don't think this is just something that happens to other people out there. Don't think that this is something you don't have to deal with, because you don't even know. This could be happening to a cousin of yours, a niece, an aunt. It could be happening under the roof that your mother or sister lives in. You know, you can't other this one. This one's a we. This is all of us together.
This is a societal problem.
What I appreciate the most is, even if it's kind of morbid to see these headlines or stories in the news, or it makes you uncomfortable to speak about, the more this gets discussed, the more we're stepping in the right direction. Because it might then be, you know, you never know when the penny might drop for someone.
Right.
And it might be hearing Karabo's story. It might be reading about a statistic. It might be hearing that their beloved teacher in school is now at home because they were, you know, beaten up by their partner. But you need to start speaking about these things and continue speaking about these things. You know?
Hey, I saw you were at an event on Friday with a whole bunch of school kids.
Oh, that was a picture. Yeah, that was a talk I did.
Was that on Friday?
No. That was a little while ago. But
tell us about it. Because I saw a picture of you with one of Madiba's grandchildren.
Yes, I often like go around to speak to kids. I'll actually be doing a school talk next week as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's everything that I believe in. So
what do you tell them? What are you talking to them about?
Particularly, I just speak about just going after whatever you want to do with being realistic about it as well. Don't just, you know, want to be famous for the sake of being famous, or just be a doctor because your mother told you want to be a doctor, but do what you want to do and know that you might break your back because you're going to work hard. But ultimately, just be yourself in whatever you do.
Good ones, yeah.
Not Mother Teresa, but
Hey, Mother Teresa had to start somewhere. She had to wash someone's feet in the beginning.
Okay, well, I speak to people. I don't touch no crusty ass feet.
Okay, but the other thing about Vusi Tembekwayo coming in is that Sia actually has a bit of a story about him.
Yeah, I'm about to go. I've been prepping myself for when he comes in because I'm going to be cool when he does it.
Are you going to save it for later?
Let's get it out now. Okay, so that tell the story because
when we mentioned that he's coming on the show, Sia was like, oh.
Yeah. I was like 16 in high school and I watched one of his interviews, and Vusi is known as like the rock star of public speaking. Mm. And he told his own experience about when he was in school and one of his teachers was trying to punish him because he used to speak a lot in class. They're like, you know what? Actually, now if you're going to talk all the time, how about you talk in front of the whole class? And you know, the teacher thought, oh, that would make a kid kind of uncomfortable, want to shut up. But instead, Vusi's got up on, you know, in front of the class, started speaking and like,
Didn't run out of words.
Absolutely. So then I was like, oh my gosh, teachers do that to me as well at school. So I was like, oh, I should take the opportunity to say something meaningful. So in front of the class, then went into in front of the school. And then I actually started entering public speaking competitions.
Look at the monster that was unleashed.
Exactly.
Everyone
who tells me to shut up, blame Vusi. Yeah. I won like the best speak in KZN in 2013.
There we go.
Because of him. Oh, look at you.
He says ever so modestly.
No, that's pretty good. Here is a recording of that speech, actually.
Oh.
I don't know about,
the eloquence.
I don't know about saying all of that in front of a crowd of kids.
All right, here are some messages that have come in this morning. The Real Temba says, if you analyze that so-called hit list that that we heard about, the ANC hit list, you could see that its conclusion could bring a huge relief to South Africa. I'm glad I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying it. Another Temba says, guys, you must get Musa Mseleku as a guest. He can give us an insight on how it is to live like Jacob Zuma. The guy has four wives and he's about to become the most famous guy in South Africa. Musa Mseleku. So let's try and get him in. You know who he is, right?
He's the guy who now rose to popularity because of that new show on Mzansi Magic that profiles his life as a polygamist with four wives and 10 children. Yeah.
Carla says, morning guys, did I miss a Flax update? I saw Ben posted a pic with him on Instagram. Well, it was a lookalike.
But there were so many comments going, oh my gosh, it's Flax. One person said, Flax, you've aged terribly.
We have reached out to him to see whether he's, for some reason he's not really talking, but we'll find out why. We'll get to him eventually. Ashley says, when I was in Norway, they'd always say this thing about the cold weather. They'd say there's no such thing as bad weather, only wrong clothing.
Okay.
But I mean, this is a country that has like 2 months of summer.
Yeah.
So they should shut up. Ashley wants to know, how do creepy old men like Jeff Radebe get the confidence to talk to some girl in her 20s or 30s? I'm in my 30s and I'm not creepy and I don't have that confidence.
Yeah, but do you have his money?
Yeah, do you have his power?
We've been through this so many different times, Ashley.
See, and it's not even confidence, it's a sense of entitlement as well mixed with it. It's like, of course, of course I can do this.
Here is a question for Bra Lucas this morning from Migs, who sends us all these conundrums that we have to decide how we would respond. They're like moral, ethical questions. And he sent one to everybody. Today it's Lucas's turn. Are you ready, Lucas?
Yep, ready I am.
All right. Your family is being held for ransom. Their demand is that you kill one of the Gareth Cliff Show crew to release them. What do you do? A, kill Mabali Moloi. She's dangerous to humanity. B, dropkick C out of the window. We needed space for Ruby to take his place anyway. C, slit Gareth's throat. It's time for the Bebali Show. That's Ben and Mabali. And D, call Liam Neeson and pray he answers the phone. E, buy the Dummy's Guide to Rescue Kidnapped Family Members. F, kill Ben and then drive to Daniela to woo her. G, screw the whole family you were born into. The Cliff Central family is much better. What do you do? Who do you kill?
I don't think I'll kill anyone, but I'll call somebody who'll help me, who'll say, I know who you are.
In other words, you'd call up, you'd go for the Liam Neeson option.
I'm not saying, all I'm saying is he's
Liam Neeson on speed dial.
You shouldn't have given him that option, Megs. That's why he chose it. He took the easy way out because he knows if he says kill anyone of us, we can hold it against him.
You should have just forced him to kill one of us.
No. Don't give too many options. You know, that's the problem. All right. 70% of motorbikes are now sold online. That message just came in response to what Ben said earlier.
Yeah, I was speaking to a guy who owns a car dealership, and he said, it's getting to a point now where it's ridiculous having a showroom. The overheads, the staff, you can do so much online. So you've got to go with the times.
Ben was quick on the laptop this morning to go and look up Stutterford's website to go and see if there was evidence of why they'd failed there, and he found plenty.
I mean, like, e-commerce isn't exactly a new phrase.
Then a very angry, very, very angry message on WhatsApp this morning. You can always WhatsApp us at 0797482090. This one says, F that Oros piece of shit. That's obviously Oros from the ANC Youth League. That moron.
Colin Maine.
That's right. Whatever his real name is. That he has the moron compass, not the moral compass. I was raised by the ANC, right? So all these poses talking absolute bullshit, just empty rhetoric, radical economic sapus, man. It makes me really angry, guys. I can't even string two thoughts together. Maybe I just need to rant. But threatening our mothers, just blatantly and unashamedly stealing money, screwing up the country, not to mention that fat ass exemplification of gluttony. Blah, 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 23 million. How come he's so... Oh, yes, because he bought that house, remember, that the Guptas paid for.
Well, I mean, there you go. He didn't buy it. The Guptas bought it for him. Kind of thing.
That's exactly right. Look, there's lots of other stuff we could get into this morning, but we've got Rich Mulholland coming up in a short while. I mentioned when we were talking to Anthea that we need to get our heads around how we can save money and how we can do more with the money that we do have. These times are not exactly easy. Consumers are on the lookout for ways in which to save money. Retailers offer great deals. But is that enough?
No.
Oh, no, absolutely. So Martinez Faria is on the line. He's the MD of group buying scheme and cashback rewards card Be Smart. And he says increased living costs have taken their toll on many households. And although the consumer's disposable income has increased marginally, most families have to look closely at their budgets to stay out of debt. Hey, Martinez, how are you?
Good morning, Cliff. Fine, thank you. It's a lovely day here in Cape Town.
All right, good. Now let's talk about Be Smart for a second. What exactly do you guys do?
Guys, we are a member organization. Mm-hmm. We act on behalf of our members, and we negotiate discount with retailers. And then we pass that discount on to our members. So in essence, we act on their behalf, and we've got national deals with most of the big players, the FMCG industry, some of the clothing industry, mm-hmm. some of the restaurant businesses, and big fuel retailers, and then the Dis-Chems and the Clicks of the world.
So in other words, because you have much bigger purchasing power, you can then pass on better deals down the chain, right?
Correct. We've got approximately 40,000 card holders, and they are nationally all over the country, and they've got the ability to shop where we have deals with retailers. So if you are near any big shopping center or regional shopping center where we have deals with Woolworths, Clicks, Dis-Chem, ShopRite Checkers, Spar, etc., you can use our card or our app and pay with that, and then you receive an annual or quarterly bonus in cash that you can spend where you would like to spend it.
Now, that's quite a different take on the whole thing, because I've heard of people offering special deals and, you know, group buying and all of that stuff, but I've never heard of people who actually get physical cash back for their discounts. Now, Mubs, doesn't that make you excited? Imagine you go, you not only get things cheaper, but you get cash in your hand as part of the deal.
It almost sounds a little bit too good to be true, but it's very exciting.
All right, so how do you manage to pass this on? Just explain it to all of us.
So Gareth, in essence, it's not a new concept. We've been in existence since 1947. Wow. And our business started off what they called the state employee buy aid back then, basically taking collective buying power and negotiating deals with retailers, managing the cash flow of the business, the members themselves, and then passing that discount on to the members and guaranteeing payment to the retailers. What unfortunately happened over time is that these group buying schemes basically got pushed a little aside by the big banks and the discoveries of the world with their loyalty programs.
Yeah.
And what we are doing is just revitalizing and repositioning our business to say to the consumer that here's real value for money. And what we bring to the table is simple, is easy to understand. It's one monthly fee and no other transaction cost. And what you actually purchase, you get the benefit back in real cash. No points, no tier system, nothing like that. Simple cash back, being smart.
Yeah, but that's where the B&B smart comes from, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, how do you differentiate yourselves from other loyalty cards in the market?
Because we're a member organization, the members actually own the business. So everything we do in their best interest. We don't have shareholders. We don't have a return on capital that we have to achieve. So everything we do to the best for the best of our members. So in essence, because we must ask our members to pay every month, we do a credit check. And in, to ensure that you have the ability to repay, and you must settle our account in full once per month. So we are very conservative. We're not in the business of lending money. Mm-hmm. We want people to settle their accounts and then get real reward back on the settling of the account.
So by the way, what is the membership fee?
Membership fee is 60 Rand per month, okay. And that includes all fees, all charges, nothing else. So if you spend 3,000 Rand or more per month, mm-hmm. the card is actually for free.
Wow.
So what we're also trying to do from a differentiating perspective is to make it easy to do business with us. So you can visit our website. You can send us a SMS at 32005 and we will call you back from our call center. And we send out statements that's interactive. You can communicate with us. You can see where did you buy, what did you buy in a pie chart. So it is using technology to your advantage.
And our, being able to figure out where you've bought and what you've bought will be helpful when you try to figure out your own personal finances later on, right? You need to consolidate all of this and it's helpful to know.
Absolutely. So what we also do, we also link you to other loyalty programs so you get double the reward. So if you use our card to pay at a Pick and Pay, you can use your Smart Shopper card. Right. Similarly with Dischem and Clicks and the likes. So it's actually not in competition. It is actually to your benefit to use both our product as well as the loyalty cards of any of the retailers.
It sounds like a slam dunk. I mean, I can't imagine that there'd be anybody who'd say, oh, no, I don't know if I want this. What sort of demographics do you have?
Traditionally, we had a older customer base. We were regionally situated in Cape Town, and the past few years we've rejuvenated the business, and we are going nationally to build our brand and our business. And we're currently attracting people between the age of 35 and 55, a lot of females, mm-hmm. and a younger generation with all demographics. We've also entered into an agreement with Sanlam, where we underwrite the Sanlam Reality Money Saver card. And we're also attracting a lot of business from that side. We call it a white label. So we've got our B-Smart card, and then we have the Money Saver card, which we underwrite. And that card is backwardly integrated into Sanlam's loyalty program.
It sounds perfect. Another way for people to manage their money, because I know everybody's thinking about how they could save at the moment. So B-Smart, that's the best solution I've heard proposed in a while. Thank you very much for talking to us, Martinez.
No, thank you, Gareth. I really believe that if viewers or listeners go to our website, they will find some interesting things there. There's an infomercial that they can click on, only 3 minutes. It will show you exactly how our product works.
Okay.
And it will be to your benefit. I've got no doubt about
it. All right. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. There we go.
Thank you very much. All of the best.
Helpful info. Today, that company, B-Smart, has a turnover of 1 billion rand. With 10,200 partner stores, close to 40,000 cardholders, the number is expected to grow to 100,000 within the next 3 to 5 years. More and more consumers are preferring to shop online. BeSmart will be including this facility in their offering. It's just a matter of time before the chip and PIN technology is introduced to the cashback card. And you heard about it here with Martinez Ferri from BeSmart.
What an appropriate topic for to add on to this morning's conversation about Stutterfords.
Yeah.
And all the sort of online retailers.
Damn right. Okay, we're going to come back with Rich Mulholland in a moment or two. He has our reality check for a Monday morning, the kind of thing that gets you fired up for the week. We'll also check in with Vusi Tembekwayo, who's our guest after 8 o'clock today. And we'll take your calls, your thoughts, your ideas, your WhatsApps, your messages, your WeChats, whatever it is, 079-748-2090 on WhatsApp. If you want to call us, 0861-555-189. Sounds good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because it is. One of them is how bad I need you. All right. How do you like that? That was quite nice, huh? That's Issues. Julia Michaels. A little bit of something for you. Something, something. I fell in love with that song over the weekend.
A little some, some.
Yeah, it just came up on my iPhone and I just
do
started
listening to it. You have
issues? No, I just like the song.
Okay. I like that song.
Nice, huh?
And I have a ton of issues. Yeah. I have a ton of issues.
It came up on my phone, and after I listened to it the first time, because I've heard it before, but I never really listened to the lyrics. You know, sometimes when you have to be in the right space to hear the lyrics to a song. And I heard it the second time, and I listened very carefully to the words. I'm like, Mabali Moloi. But it's cute. It's a very cute
it
song.
It is, and it almost sounds a little bit peculiar in places, like
just
strange
like you,
and
just
weird.
Like you.
I like that. Yeah,
exactly. Tell you what, you are something else. It's difficult to read you with all your issues. All right, let's get into it. We've got to go to Rich Mulholland, who is on the line. Is he on Skype or on the phone? Skype. All right. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning, you animal. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Good. In which part of the world are you today? Because I believe you have not... You were talking about your traveling the other day, and I don't know how much time you spend in planes, but it must be roughly a quarter of your life at the moment, right?
Yeah, this week was pretty crazy. I left last Sunday night, and I flew to Texas. It was 30 hours. I was there 36 hours, and I flew back home.
Jeez, man. Unreal.
So, I'm back now in Cape Town.
Have a good weekend.
Fly up to Joburg today.
Good weekend?
Yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. It was cool because I did nothing.
That's the best way to spend it. Now, what's on your mind this morning? We'd like to get you to fire us up for the week. What do you got today?
Well, I guess it's a kind of a follow-up on a previous discussion. And in fact, your previous listeners, we were talking about saving money. And one of the ways I wanted to suggest we save money is to stop bloody flying business class. And I did mention last week we were talking about it, and we said we'd come back to this topic.
Yeah.
So in spite of those kind of 60 hours of travel this week, it just doesn't cross my mind. It doesn't seem viable. And I want to take you through the two sides to that.
All right.
The first thing is this. I remember there used to be – do you remember Sun Air used to fly out of Lanseria?
Yes.
And it was business class only airline where you got a massage when you flew down to Cape Town. It was amazing.
I never flew with them, but I remember them, yeah.
Yeah, so I used to get on in my shorts and T-shirt, and I used to be next to these pompous business guys. And they would kind of stagger you, so there was always space for a masseuse to stand behind you and give you a kind of a head and neck massage. And it was amazing. It really, these huge, big leather red seats. It was fantastic. And it just never worked. And it kind of lasted for a while, then it just died out. And one of the reasons cited was that people just don't want to fly from Lanseria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not a viable place for people to fly from. And of course, this is bullshit because people fly from Lanseria all the day. At the moment, Sapphire, Mango, Kalula, all of them fly.
Right.
And I realized the real reason it failed out is it's completely pointless having a business class on the airline because there's nobody to feel superior to. If you're the same class as everybody else, you don't get to feel snobby. And in fact, that's what happens. When I did find myself on business class flights, I would naturally sit in a different way. I would grab a newspaper. I mean, I never bloody read the newspaper, but I would sit and read a newspaper from business class. That's what business class people do. And I would sit waiting for people I know to walk past me. There is nothing better than being sitting in business class. That's why they make the economy class passengers walk past you on parade. They put you on first, and then they make poor people walk past you like royal subjects. It's amazing. Now, anyway, I actually, for what it's worth, I find that it's not that much more comfortable overall. I actually sleep as well with the right equipment. Same as your guy said earlier, it's not about bad weather, it's bad clothing. It's the same thing with flying economy. You just got to have the right gear.
Yeah.
However, the real thing I want to say to people, and I guess it comes back to the money thing, and whenever people ask me about the business class argument, I always say the same thing to them. I say, I want you to imagine that you're sitting in a hotel room and you're about to go to bed and a guy walks in the door and says, hey, listen, we're doing a bit of an experiment. You can go over and you can sleep in the bed and have a great night's sleep and I won't bother you again. Or you can help us with the experiment. You can sit into, you can go into the bedroom, into the lounge. You can sit on the couch and then we'll pay you 15 grand to fall asleep just tonight if you sleep on the couch. Right. If you do that, yeah, we'll give you the money. And I've never met anyone yet that would ever possibly choose to not sleep on the couch for the money.
Right.
So if given the choice in a hotel room, would I stay on the bed or would I stay on a seat, basically, sleeping upright uncomfortably for 15 grand? For the vast majority of people, that's what they would do. Mm-hmm. And yet, when your company's paying or a client is paying, we're very, very quick to jump up and ask them to fly as business class and to take that money. And for me, I just feel that there's far better things to spend cash on than a mildly better sleep. And it makes no logical sense. And I'm curious as to figure out why it would.
So you just did this 36 or 38 hour flight through to Texas and back. Did you fly at economy?
Yeah, the whole way. And I slept, I mean, when I flew from Detroit to Amsterdam, I was asleep before we took off and I woke up as we landed. And on the way there from Cape Town to Amsterdam, I slept the same way there. And absolutely no problem at all. I just, I take a self-inflating pillow for my lower back. I use an evolution pillow for my neck that clips in the front so your head doesn't bob around. Mm-hmm. I throw the blanket over my cap. I make a little cocoon and I'm done. And I just fall asleep. And I'll take one of those kind of milder sleeping pills you can buy at the airport. And that's me tickets. Best business class, the cheapest business class ever you can get is half a sleeping tablet.
Now, a lot of the time you would have a client who would pay for you to go on business. Do you say to them, no, thank you, I'll just go economy?
Yeah. I'll say if it's a long flight, I'd request if possible premium economy, which is just mildly, it's like slightly nicer food and stuff, and it's a fraction of the price.
Sure.
But for the most part, I always say to them, guys, I'm really not fast. I'm more than happy to fly cattle.
Wow.
And there's been instances before where they've said, we'll fly your business. And I actually have turned around and said, guys, that's unnecessary. If you're going to do that, I'd rather you fly my wife with me and we'll both fly economy. And that still works out cheaper.
Yeah, because you can get two economy tickets usually for the price of one business one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, it's just a point about make more rational decisions. So yeah. Often we make decisions based on silly things like mild moments of status, and it does feel nice, and if you can get a bump up, I'm all for taking it. But spending the money on that, even if you're wealthy, doesn't make sense. Even if you have the money, there's better ways to spend it on. And there's just so much more you could do with that. Even selfishly, there's more that you can do with that, let alone all the good things you could do that every time you were going to fly business class, if you decided to instead have a slightly more uncomfortable night and donate that money to people who have uncomfortable nights of their own with the homeless. Maybe that would be something you could do if you wanted a more genuine approach to it. But even if you're selfishly spending it on yourself, I'd far rather have a great trip when I arrive than have a wonderful evening on the way there.
You know, this Sia's about to lose his mind. He can't believe what he's hearing. Like if someone offered Sia a free business class ticket as opposed to economy, he'd be only too happy to take it, right?
And I'm there, no questions asked, that's it.
So they think you're insane.
If it was free, I would take it. If it was an upgrade from an airline or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody spending money, I mean, that depends. I guess that's just when they ask me what kind of mode of travel would I prefer. Mm. More often than not, I'd rather just say economy. I'd say I'm 25 with economy because I don't feel that they should be wasting their cash on it.
Now, Rich, just very quickly, first class travel.
I've done it once.
because like the price of business on economy is huge. The price of first class just seems ridiculous.
Yes, I got it once when I was in Belgium, and the Belgian royal family bumped me from my chair, and I got a first class upgrade, and it was pretty cool. Like when I landed in Frankfurt, a Porsche came to the just like on the airside, and when everybody else got off and started walking towards the terminal, I got into a Porsche and drove away. It was amazing. Well, I mean, that's totally worth it.
That's an experience, second to none.
I want to say I'm not about the douchebaggery, but sometimes I am.
Listen, I would imagine there are lots of people who do have just tons and tons of money lying around, and for them, this is almost a way to keep the airlines going, because the prices of these tickets are outrageous. There's no amount of travel or luxury or menu items or reclining on your seat that can be offered for like 60,000 Rand more. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean that would be the difference. If you're going from economy to first, you're talking about a 64,000 Rand bump on the price just for one way. You just can't be – and to me, it's almost obscene. Like there's a lot of shit we give people for many things that are less ridiculous than that. Like if somebody went and bought an expensive bottle of champagne and poured it down the drain, it would be all over the news. People would be like, look at this guy wasting these things.
If someone set fire to a 200 Rand note, we'd go, oh, what a douchebag.
Yeah. But a guy flying first class is something to be commended. And the reason is because it's kind of aspirational. And it's kind of, we'd all like to do it at some stage. And I was very excited when we got the bump up, and it was something that I could experience. Mm. And I'm not saying never experience these things, but I think the novelty wears off. In my kind of more douchebag years when, I had the Porsche and I did the thing and I behaved in a different way, I used to fly Virgin's upper class all the time. And I loved it. And it was but I knew when I reflected back at myself that it was much more ego than comfort for me personally. Mm. I'm not saying that's the case for everybody in the world. And as soon as I came to terms with that, I figured I didn't want to be that guy anymore. And, I figured there was an easier way to get comfortable. And for me, it was maybe 600 rands worth of smart pillows that, can fold up into a tiny pocket. That's the thinking. I think there's a lot of decisions where we can decide, are we doing this for ego or are we doing this for comfort? Buying that expensive car. I mean, I don't have a car and my wife has a Mini. It's not like we're over the top. So, and there's a lot of decisions that we make based on ego that I think we could rather base on economy. And it would be, I think, slightly nicer place if more of us made rational decisions like that.
Well, I put up a picture on Instagram yesterday of a dude wearing a $350 belt, a $400 pair of trousers, and $800 shoes, and the title was broke. And then a picture of kind of Bill Gates wearing a $34 shirt, a $29 pair of jeans, and a $12 pair of shoes. And you kind of get the idea that's a billionaire. And sometimes it's not what you show other people that tells them the story of what you have and what you don't have. But it's almost what you don't show.
Yeah. I mean, it's Zuckerberg and the taking the choice of T-shirts away. You know how he always says that he doesn't change his shirt because he has lots of variations of the same thing because he doesn't want to waste decision-making time on what T-shirt he should wear in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's Axe from Billions, always in a pair of jeans and T-shirt.
Right.
And I think once you're that wealthy.
Speaking of Billions, I got a bone to pick with you. You started off watching season two of Billions and you hated it, and then you persevered. You got through to about episode four, and now you think it's great again. What's going on with you?
So I started watching it, and they've got all of these new characters, and they're almost completely over the top. And so the first episode or two, they're introducing them to you, and they're all these caricatures. Mm. This federal agent that is. Like a Mr. Smith from Matrix, and there's a whole core of them, and it was really, really irritating me. And I was so glad the same thing people did with me in Breaking Bad. I was saying to them, I don't get it. I do not get Breaking Bad. I've watched all of season one and it's so boring. And I put it on Twitter, and a bunch of people came back and said, dude, persevere, it gets really good. And so I thought, okay, well, let me give it a try. And I think by episode four, I was hooked again.
Awesome.
And now it's like motivational speaking. That's what that show is. It makes you want to go out and become a billionaire, which is quite fun.
All right, Rich. You're on your way.
Yeah.
Rich Mulholland.
Oh, geez, I wish.
No, it'll happen. Rich Mulholland with the reality check on a Monday. Thank you, man. Nice to talk to you, as always.
Right, chat soon.
Cool. There we go. That's Rich live from Cape Town this morning. I don't know if everybody would take his advice on this one. Someone bought you a business class, a first class ticket, and you didn't have to pay for yourself. I don't know.
It's also like, you know, how frequent do you travel? If you never go overseas and someone gave you the opportunity, you're not going to go, yeah, I'm going to take the percentage call here. But if you're traveling every week like Rich,
you get to compare apples with apples.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there it is. Jen Su was at the Cannes Film Festival. This woman gets around.
Oh.
Yeah, and she bumped into Mbongeni Ngema.
Shoo!
Yeah, so here's a little interview she did with him about his show, Asinamali. Listen to this.
We're with Mbongeni Ngema here from Asinamali, and of course, this is screening here at the Cannes Film Festival. So great to be with you.
Wonderful to be with you.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about the film.
It's a musical film. It is set in a prison in Durban in 1983. It's these prison inmates who tell their stories as to how they landed in prison during apartheid South Africa.
Right.
But also, it's about this man. His name is Comrade Washington, who was an MK soldier who now works for Amnesty International in New York City. He's posted in South Africa in Durban prison. He uses the method of drama, theater, and music and dance to rehabilitate inmates. And he lands in this prison, and they start singing and telling their stories.
Wow. Can you sing something from it? You want to think?
What can I sing?
I don't know. I just decided, like, I'm very spontaneous. So.
That's Jen Su.
Puto muhle milang zofele jele O baba betu ba fele machele O mama betu ba fele machele.
Wow, amazing. So amazing. I love it. And we are here, of course, at the Cannes Film Festival.
Isn't that nice? That's Jen Su, live at the Cannes Film Festival.
Huh? Oh. Yeah, no.
Talking about someone who gets around.
Jen doesn't have average days, hey? She's busy.
She also bumped into some other famous people, but you can go and find out about that all over Jen's social media. She's on Twitter. She's on Instagram. Jennifer Su, and various the various iterations of how exactly her name goes on different social media networks. You can look them all up. Won't be hard to find her. She's the only famous Jen Su I know.
I heard a story, though, yesterday about how there was some other evacuation that happened at the festival because they thought they might have been dealing with a bomb scare, but then it turned out it wasn't.
Really?
Well, everyone at the Cannes Film Festival is on edge considering everything that has happened in France in the past couple of months. So just for the festival itself, they had new cameras installed in the streets. Anyone who's carrying large bags is stopped. That's like a routine thing now because who knows what you're carrying in that large bag.
Wow.
There's way more security just on foot. It's crazy.
All right. Well, then if you're listening to us and you're going to the Cannes Film Festival,
yes,
you better make sure you have the right size
yacht right now.
Yeah. You're listening to us on your yacht. Well, listening to us in New York City, Avi, who's called in once or twice, he's packing up and signing out of New York in a few hours. Big thanks to the GCS, that's us, and cliffcentral.com for keeping me informed on all things in South Africa while I've been out here. Now, instead of listening to you guys live at midnight, I'll be listening to you at 6 a.m. in South Africa when I'm having a shower. Happy third birthday. Mine is in a few days. Peace, Avi. He's leaving New York.
Is he coming back home?
Coming back home.
Well, Avi, if you happen to be in Joburg, then you must come and see us sometime.
Come and visit us.
Yeah.
He was like our New York correspondent for a while. We'll need a new one now.
Sure. Yeah. He was helpful at times.
Where's who from?
Where's Nando from?
He's in Washington.
Washington, yeah.
We've got lots of listeners all over the world that we're trying to connect with.
Yeah, we've got Hi Rob.
Hi Rob in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Have you been watching Hi Rob's memories of moments on Instagram?
No.
What's he up to now? What's he doing?
This guy's one of the most entertaining people on Instagram. Yesterday he was literally talking to cats. He's just chilling with two cats either side of him.
What? Chilling with cats?
Is that synonym for the P word? What are you saying?
No, actual cat. You can't make up. You can't actually
the last time
describe
I saw,
Hi Rob on Instagram.
The last time I saw him on Instagram, he was doing a He was doing a gym session, but he was wearing his pajamas.
With black toenail polish.
Yeah. So
as one does, there are some,
there are some, there are some people living their best lives.
He really is.
Go and take a look at that. All right, coming up in the next little while, Vusi Tembekwayo. It is cliffcentral.com. Monday morning, we've got the whole week ahead of us. Let's get things going. You know what I mean.
Cliffcentral.com.